Everyone's just waving and there's no one talking. What?
Hey.
And everything before we call the meeting to order is not public record. That's a good thing to know as well. Jeremy's shaking his head. Yep.
Hey everyone. Want to give a couple more minutes for anyone that might be coming in late. Hi everyone. I think we can probably go ahead and get started. So we'll go ahead and kick it off the first meeting of the semester. I hope everyone had a nice Labor Day weekend and dealing with the temperatures okay this week. But anyway, I will let I'll officially call the meeting to order here, 12:17 p.m. And I will let Marcy go ahead with the roll call.
Hello. Okay. Marcy Bendis here. Darren Borders. Marcus Brooks.
Present.
And as soon as everyone's finished eating their lunches, come on camera. Frank Cantone. Sarita Charup. Carl Cornell,
Here.
Erica Crawley,
Here.
Rebecca Dillon,
Here.
Bethany Dixon,
Here.
Jamie Doss,
Here.
Thomas Hanbury,
Here.
Ellie Crum,
I'm here.
Jeremy Cruiser,
Here.
Sophie Lanchez,
Here.
Christine Mahoney,
Hello.
Alina O'Connor, Kevin Phipps,
Here.
Stephanie Rizzou,
Here.
Kate Supron?
I'm here.
Wendy Treat?
Here.
And Jana Van Helm?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mercy. And I'm going to start with our Cornell land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono Cayuga Nation. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of the six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history, the Gayakono dispossession, and honor the ongoing connection of the Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. At this time, I want to call for any late additions to the agenda. Okay, I didn't hear anything. So we'll go ahead and move on to the approval of the minutes all the way from May 3rd. So I know these were sent out in an email back earlier this week on Tuesday. So if everyone just, I'll give everyone a minute or two to just go ahead in case you haven't had a chance to review those real quick. Okay. Do we have anyone who doesn't want to approve the minutes? Does everything look good?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Excellent. Thank you very much. So now moving on to business of the day. Resolution number one, time change for the employee assembly to meet for our regular scheduled meeting. So we'll be moving this from 12:15 to noon. And I will let Wendy or Sophie, whoever would like to bring this up.
I'm happy to.
Great.
So basically, it's just pretty straightforward. The employee assembly meets on the first and third Wednesdays of each month. Traditionally, it's been 12:15 to 1:30, and that was to allow staff time to leave their office space to travel to the physical on-campus location. But with the pandemic, it's shown that we have drastically changed our work location. Some staff are completely fully remote, and some are like hybrid, that sort of thing. And since we have voted to have our meetings virtual currently, we don't need that travel time. So line 20, be it therefore resolved, the assembly recommends to change the time in the regularly scheduled meeting to 12 p.m. until 1:15 p.m. on the first and third Wednesdays of the month. This would also include an amendment to the bylaws, Article 1, Section 1.2, lines 10 through 12, to reflect the new time. And that's pretty much it. Open for discussion, questions, comments, concerns.
Good idea.
I'll just come forward if that's okay. I think it's a great idea. I think this might help people who have other commitments also at 1 o'clock. I know a lot of people do drop off at 1 o'clock. So I'm hoping this might answer that question or issue. Not sure even if we might want to even shrink it to an hour. I don't know if that's a discussion we might want to have or wait and see if we do approve this time change. Just something to think about, or your thoughts, discussion.
Yes, Jeremy.
So I think this proposed change is a good one. I think reducing the time might put us into a bit of a crunch. Historically, we've run right up on time pretty much every meeting. I do like the idea that was proposed last time, though, that we kind of front load the most important information and leave things like committee reports to the end that can also be shared via email rather than eating up additional time that way.
Thank you. And Wendy?
Well, first point of information, please just remember you need to be recognized by the chair before speaking to Marcy. I know you just popped in there really quick, but given this is Jana's kind of first official meeting as EA chair, we'll guide her along. I wanted to second what Jeremy actually just said, the fact that sometimes we do run right up into it. We also are the shortest meeting time out of all of the assemblies, I believe, because the UA meets for an hour and a half, the GPSA meets for an hour and a half, and the student assembly meets for, I believe, almost 2 hours. They meet from 4:45 until, or no, 4:45 to 6. So they're the same time as us. So I think just cutting it short would be, it might be problematic. But yeah, also with the front loading of the business in the first part, and then if we do have a speaker or something, we can kind of, usually they have a PowerPoint or something that we, you know, that goes up with public record with meeting material. So if someone's missing anything or has a question, it's usually like someone can get in touch. So not that I want to diminish any of the speakers that we might have at a meeting, but I think as long as we can get the EA business kind of out of the way first and then have, you know, any presentations or discussions that we might have.
Excellent. Thank you, Wendy. I was just reading a comment here.
I could address that as a sponsor of that. So also just as a reminder, anything made in the meeting comments chat is not part of the public record. So I'm actually going to read what Kit just wrote. Kit Tannenbaum, who is here as a constituent, said, "I'm no longer on the EA, and when I first saw the resolution, I agree with the sentiment. I just wanted to put out there for folks who have a meeting that ends at 12 and are using their lunch break for the EA, the 15 minutes helps to be a buffer." Kit, I appreciate the sentiment. I appreciate the feedback. However, given that this is a virtual meeting and we've been doing Zoom meetings for 3-ish years, I think my own personal thought is that we're all pretty adept at, hey, I've got to hop to another meeting. It's not like you have to leave at noon and still walk 15 minutes to go somewhere. And we do actually, all of us are pretty much giving up our lunch breaks right now for the meeting. So I appreciate that it helps be a buffer. However, we're all kind of running into that as even EA members. So
thank you. Jeremy, go ahead.
Just wanted to make explicit too, as we're kind of changing culture here, bring your food to the meeting, please. This is your lunch break for a lot of us. And there's sometimes an expectation in kind of business world that you don't eat during a meeting. But I think this, we should make explicit, this is an exception to that culture. So don't feel like you can't bring your food.
Thank you. Yes, please bring your lunches. Any other questions or comments about this topic? Anything else you'd like to discuss? Okay. And being so new, I'm going to maybe mess up, but if we'll see. So this is the part where we all approve this, correct? All right.
You want to know the process?
Please, please, Wendy.
Okay, so you're going to call for a vote for all those in favor, and we will do our little check mark things. It should be under, you should see it under your reaction. Once we have all that, then you would say all opposed, take count of that, then all abstaining, which would be you and anyone who has a direct conflict of interest to the resolution. And then once we have all of that, we're good to go. And it is only EA voting members.
Thank you so much for that, Wendy. And Erica, please go ahead.
I just had a quick question with procedure that Wendy went over. Do we need to call for a motion to have it accepted before we vote on it? Or do we just go for acceptance?
As long as discussion is closed, we have no more questions or comments or feedback on it. Someone can call for a motion to vote. We vote. We're good to go.
Yeah. Okay. So we have no more discussion. Okay. So I would like to ask everyone who is in approval of this resolution to use your reactions to give me a thumbs up sign or a check mark. Thank you.
I'm having trouble with my thumb mark, so sorry. I don't know what's going on with my reactions, but I'm getting a weird thing.
Great.
Oh, there we go.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I see Tom. Thank you. Okay. Now, I'll just give a moment to let everyone who is opposed to this resolution, please go ahead and use, let's see here, the if you would use the red circle with the X. I don't see that. Okay. And Wendy?
I just, for those that aren't familiar with the voting process, for virtual meetings such as this. So if you click on reactions is where you should see the green check mark or the red X, you know, red circle with an X through it. And then once they're collected and the vote is passed, then I'm guessing Eric as Office of the Assemblies will let us know what the vote count is, or actually the vote count will be put on there. But he can also just mention, or someone from the Office of Assemblies, at least in the past, has said the resolution has passed by XYZ vote.
Great, thank you. Okay, and all of those abstaining, let's use, let's use a, let's see, trying to figure out what would be the best emoji to use, but let's just use a clap if we're abstaining. And that's in the reactions, the very far left side. Okay. And Tom, do you have a question?
Just a notation, and that is that Frank Cantone is the other retiree representative to the EA, and he and I think, share a vote. Frank isn't here today. We talk regularly, but you guys are just going to have to figure out. I'm sure he wouldn't be opposed to this, but I can only vote my half vote, in a sense, to agree. So you'll just have to figure out how you deal with this kind of thing if both of us are not here. Okay.
Great. Thank you for mentioning that. We'll figure that one out. Unless Wendy, go ahead.
Well, no, Tom, I appreciate you bringing up that point. Just for clarification, it's not necessarily a half vote. You are getting the vote because you're the only retiree representative at this meeting right now. Should you and Frank both be here, then you guys may have to have some sort of a side conversation. Unfortunately, we don't have individual chat open up on the, just having side conversations, but it is viable between the two of you to make sure you're both kind of on board and voting the same way. And then one or the other of you, if both of you happen to be in a meeting, one or the other of you would then do the green check or the red X or whatever it would be. And then that counts as the vote for the retiree seat.
Okay.
I'm really earning my keep as parliamentarian today. Whew, okay.
Thank you. Carl, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make sure before we finalize this, did we make sure that we have quorum today?
Quorum?
Yeah, quorum.
A quorum is half. I'm sorry. Let me raise my hand.
Go ahead, Mercy. Thank you.
Sorry. I think a quorum is, correct me if I'm wrong, Wendy, is it at least half plus one, or did I just pull that out of my head?
No, it is half plus one. We have 17 on right now. So that's definitely, yeah. Pretty much everyone who's a seated member is on right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. So from first glance, I think this resolution has been approved, but I will wait for the Office of Assemblies to verify that.
Hi, everybody. Can I just see the yes votes one more time, please? All right. Thank you. The net vote passes by 16-0-1. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Okay, wonderful. Now we will move on to the resolution number 2, approval of the 2023-2024 operating budget. And I will let Kate Supran take this away.
Okay, am I supposed to have the budget handy to share, do you think? I probably am. Okay, I'll find that. Anyway, so I have pulled together a budget for the EA. It magically comes out to $9,600, which is the amount that has been approved for the last several years. We have reduced the amount of funding in food for food, and tried to, without specifying what it would be, think about how about using the money for events that would help build awareness of the employee assembly, both to help contact with constituents and to recruit new members. So we have quite a number of empty seats, and we need to, it would really be great to have those filled. I'm sorry that I don't have my agenda up, and or my what do we call it, budget up. I am looking.
And Kate,
yes,
it looks like Sophie just added that in chat. So,
oh, excellent! Thank you so much, Sophie. That's what we needed. So, folks can pull that up in chat, and then I can share it if need be. But we can all pull it up in chat and then still see each other's faces. It has the resolution on the first page, and then below it has the summary of the budget. It goes back through the past several years on how we've divvied up those funds. What I did was simply look at previous years, and if we were below in some category, I adjusted it. Last year, for instance, we did have food meetings with food partway through the year. Our expenses were higher, but I left it where it was last year, thinking that that could also be used for the administrative, could be used for open to staff events. I'll just give folks a second to look down there and see if you have any questions about the amounts allocated. I don't want to be loosey-goosey with my finances, but it is not arduous to transfer money from one to the other. The main thing is that we stay within the $9,650. He's in the, yeah. Anyone have questions about the budget or want me to pop it up on the screen? Or would anyone, if there are no questions, would anyone like to make a motion to approve Employee Assembly Resolution 2? It's very quiet, so I hope people are hearing me and that I'm not on mute. Wendy.
Thanks for bringing this up, Kate. I think the budget looks good. I'm just curious, and I know how flexible is it, because you left the line for administrative food for meetings at 2600, but if we're meeting virtually, as you said, there was we might have it for something else, but how flexible is it so that if we need to move some of the funding to say another line, to increase like maybe the benefit, the policy committee line item, or the education, or elections as election chair, and we have a lot of seats, that sort of thing. I'm just kind of wondering how flexible is that? And I don't know if that's a question for you or if that's a question for the assemblies.
It may be a question for the assemblies, but I did meet with Jessica and discuss it. My thought is we can, if we have any kind of meeting, we can that costs us money, whether it's to recruit folks or, whether to meet about the elections, whether it's a recruitment meeting, whether we're trying to get people to run, we can call that an administrative meeting and use the money in that for expenses. We do have some monies for committees. I did increase elections. Did I increase? Yes, I increased elections by $150. Elections hasn't been using much money in the last few years. Actually, none of the committees have used their money, but I did also increase elections. If you feel that it is necessary, we can certainly make make adjustments to those amounts. But I thought the most flexible category in the budget was administrative. So that's why I left a big chunk there. Because what can't we fit under a meeting, right?
Thank you, Kate. And Erica, go ahead.
Are we not allowed to label an expense category as miscellaneous so we can use the funds as we need them since we are no longer having since we're no longer having in-person meetings, as opposed to labeling it as administrative for food for meetings?
I am not sure if we, if the budget categories are set. What I did was just work with the historical budget categories and figure we could pull within there. I know we are, we had brainstormed at the retreat a little bit about what we'd like to do. And we are limited in the types of things we can spend money on. We can't, for instance, make a donation. We can't say, oh, we have, $1,500 left, we're going to give it to the care fund. We aren't allowed to do that. We aren't allowed to co-sponsor events, I believe. They have to be fully EA events. There are a lot of restrictions on what we can do, but the funds are intended to support, mainly support the operations of the employee assembly. So Erica, thank you. It's an excellent question. And I don't really have a full answer. Anyone have thoughts on that?
So just a historical reference, we have had to move monies in the budget before, and it's as simple as bringing it before the body and saying, we want to move $200 from this bucket to this bucket. Does everybody approve? We have a vote. And as long as everybody approves, the money gets moved. It really isn't a hardship.
Thank you.
Night, I increase the staff recognition, the president's address to staff, and the EA staff forums, so that we had a little bit of a cushion there, and depending on how things go. And as I say, I also increased each of the committees, which we haven't been using our committee funds. So that's something for committees to think of. If there's something that would that you could use EA funds on to share information or have an event, or if there's something that requires funds. And we should, I feel like I need a little bit of clarification on, and we need to dig in a little bit more on what's allowable in terms of activities for us. Sorry, Wendy, I didn't put my hand up.
Go ahead, Wendy.
No, that's fine. I'm actually just again referencing to Kit. He did put a comment in the chat of Kit is actually also a former EA member and actually was in the same role that HB Prime currently is in. And so she did say that when she did the budget, the understanding was that the allocations can be changed by EA vote. They're not set in stone. So just again, wanted to remind people that comments and thoughts and suggestions made in chat are not part of the public record. It would be best if people raise their hand, are recognized by Jana as chair, and then once recognized, then you can unmute and speak as such.
Thank you very much, Wendy. And Jeremy, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm suspecting the reason that Kit is in text is because also generally the public doesn't address the board unless the board is done talking and then called upon. So I think that's a polite, when you have time to recognize me mechanism. I would also like to, unless there's further discussion, motion to approve the budget.
I second it.
Excellent. Thank you both. And with that, may I see the using your reactions, the green check mark for all of those in favor of approving this resolution. Thank you. And I'll give just a few more minutes. So the Office of Assembly, so Eric can, thank you, Tom.
I just lost my meeting. So
no worries. Okay. I think that should be good. So thank you for those who have approved and for those who would like to not approve this, please use that red circle with the X through it to signal that. I don't see anyone. And all of those who are abstaining, you can use that same reaction, the clap, just to signal it's in the reactions to the far left, just to get a count. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And with that, Eric, is there anything that you need before we move on? Were you able to record everything?
No, I count that as passing 16-0-1.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay. So with that, we'll move on to item C. Oh, Jeremy, go ahead.
Just like to offer a suggestion for kind of procedure moving forward, because I've seen it work before, is when you're doing approved, rejected, and abstain, if you do approved with check marks, then ask everyone to clear. Got and it. Then rejected with the X, get your count, ask everyone to clear, and then you slow down for abstain. And the reason for that is because the clap disappears after a few seconds. Mm. And the slowdown, you have to click again to remove, just like the approve and deny markers.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. And if anyone else has suggestions, please feel free. I know I'm getting my feet wet here today. So thank you so much. All right. So the community connection event is scheduled on September 28th. That's, I believe, at 9 a.m. And that will be in G10 Biotech. So the EA has been asked to have some type of a presence there. So with that said, we wanted to talk about, just bring this up for discussion on, you know, potentially using some of our budget to, in the past, I know we've had pens, things like that, that just kind of get our, you know, out there, get our name out there, you know, open up awareness for people who might not know about the employee assembly. So I just wanted to bring this up and say, you know, just get your thoughts on potentially using some of our budget for those items. And Sophie, go ahead, please.
I was just wondering, do we have branding specifically for EA? And yeah, I think that was pretty much it. Sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought. But yeah, is there a branding that we have or like logo or? Look, okay, thank you. Okay, great.
Fabulous. That's lovely. Yeah. Kate.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to raise my hand. We would want to check with brand because that being part of the same division as the employee assembly, I know we want to make sure that what we do is brand compliant. And my understanding is that the only thing that can be adjacent to the Cornell seal is Cornell University. So we would have to do a little bit of redesign because branding, either the requirements have changed or the guidelines may have changed, or the adherence to the guidelines might have changed since we did those things.
Great, thank you. Good point, Eric. I saw your hand next.
Yes. So I guess my question would be, what would we be using swag for? Is that internally for us to wear to promote? Is this to give away to our constituency? How are we using swag to help us?
Yeah, great question. And okay, Wendy put her hand down. So Kate, I'll let you go ahead with that.
I had one of those nice little bricks of the sticky notes, and it was given to me when I first, I was at, and I can't remember what the event was, but it was a campus-wide event for employees, and the employee assembly had a table there and was recruiting people to run for office. So it was not just for employee assembly members, it was just having something on an outreach table that we could give people to remind them, and for others to see as well, I suppose, on their desks that we do have an employee assembly. And I know there is an upcoming event through the Office of Employee Diversity and Inclusion for Community Connections on September 28th that the EA will be tabling at. So we could, you know, that's the sort of place that we could share information and swag from the EA.
Thank you. Jeremy, go ahead.
I think it's a great opportunity for outreach. And when we're looking at redesign for compliance, the one thing that I've always felt is missing on almost all of the swag we've done in the past, and this is old by this point, is contact information, website, some way to tie this to us and get these folks back.
Great comment, Jeremy. Erica, go ahead.
I would also just like to add that EA swag may be helpful for when we hire new employees, the university hires new employees, then we can send employee assembly like a little welcome packet to them. Doesn't have to be anything extensive. It could be like those sticky notes, right? That we send with a welcome to Cornell, and at least they have something from us, because I know I didn't really know this body existed until I got the email that people were looking.
Yeah, that's a great point, Erica. Thank you. Wendy, go ahead.
I really love that idea, Erica. However, I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer. There are different sorts of onboarding processes that go on throughout campus, Cornell Tech, AgriTech. I mean, we've got people all over the place. So, but I think that would be great. Yeah, if we can give them, like, even if it's just a brick of the post-it notes and a pen, of just so they're like, oh, wait, what's this? Also, just more outreachy kind of stuff. I know from past experience, being on the EA and also being in the Office of the Assemblies, the President's Address to Staff is a really good place to pull in people and get some possible interest and new members. I've had people approach me in both capacities when I was in staff in the Office of the Assemblies and as an EA member. Hey, how do I get involved with this? And again, I think if we just have something there for someone to take, I mean, obviously, maybe not all people will take it if we don't do it in person, if we're doing a virtual, that sort of thing. But yeah, I think it would be helpful. But I do like the idea of swag, even if it is, you know, a bookmark pen, brick of post-it notes, whatever it might be.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good point. And I saw Kate and then Jamie.
I've talked a lot. Let's let Jamie go first.
Okay, great. Thank you, Kate. Go ahead, Jamie.
Thank you, Kate. And Jim, I was just going to say just a thought that the employee experience team, I'm not sure how many people are aware of this, but we do have an employee experience team that has an initiative where every time we have a new hire, they send out kind of like a care package to that new hire that does include some swag items as well as other Cornell merchandise. And so it could be a collaborative effort, perhaps, for us to work with that employee experience team to see if we can get some of our swag items included in that care package that does get sent to those new hires. I think that would alleviate possibly some of the strain that Wendy was alluding to about trying to figure out who has different onboarding processes and, you know, when we can get items to those new hires and when we can't.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion from an HR perspective. Thank you so much. And Kate, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad I let that we had that I didn't go first because that was really hit a lot of what I was going to say. Thank you, Jamie. In community relations, we've worked with the employee experience team with Cassie Pierre Joseph and the Big Red Welcome to make sure that we have the community relations website gets a little bit of what do we call it, real estate on the Big Red Welcome materials and HR website, so we could work with the employee experience team to do that. And I was just going to say exactly the same thing, to make sure we're coordinating with them to share information about the employee assembly with new employees and swag.
Great. Anyone else have anything to add? Oh, Sophie, go ahead.
Another swag item we could do is laptop stickers, which is pretty easy to get from Sticker Mule. And the good thing about it is, like, if someone has it on their laptop, it's easy to, like, start a conversation about it as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. Marcy, go ahead.
That's a great idea. Those vinyl stickers, they can also go on your water bottles. Yep, and people see that and they're like, oh my gosh, what's that? And so you can say. Yeah. My other question might be, so these are great ideas, but who, what committee, who wants to take the lead on this? I think this would be a great opportunity for one of the committees. And I think Jeremy just raised his hand that he wants to do it. I'm kidding.
Wendy, then Sophie.
To answer Marcy's question, I think that would probably fall under communications committee. And that's what Sophie's nodding her head. That would just seem to make the most sense because of communications, outreach, and recognition committee. So.
Love that. Sophie, is that something that you are able to take on?
Yes. I was gonna say I could do it. And you know, what I could do is the only question I do have is like, where would it need to be delivered to make sure that we could hand those out?
Yeah, Marcy.
That's a great question. I think and use your committee for sure. Meet quickly and use your committee. This isn't all for you to do, Sophie. Just, you know, call your committee. What I would do is call everybody on the EA and people can join as they are able. And then I think since we're all so spread out, they should be at, you know, we should have at the minimum of 3 points of people. Like if you have people where you are, how many maybe you want there. Certainly for events that are here on the Ithaca campus, same with Geneva, I think they should kind of be spread out if they're a tangible item, like a sticker or post-it or whatever the committee decides. That's my opinion.
No, that's a great point, Marcy. Thank you. Anyone else have anything to provide to Sophie? Jeremy, go ahead.
I was just going to also remind that exactly what Kate was saying, there should be a tie-in with folks that this is their job. And I'm sure she can help provide some names for contacts. And they will certainly be able to help you know what you need to provide and where you need to provide it to get that done.
Thank you so much, everyone. And thank you, Sophie, for taking this on. All right, if there's nothing else with this topic, we'll go ahead and move down to item D on the agenda. Okay. So now we are moving on to committee chair and ad hoc appointments. So right now we have a couple of empty chairs or empty committee appointments that we need to fill. Wendy, go ahead.
It's more when we get to the BPC chair discussion. Kit, I just would like to ask respectfully that Kit Tannenbaum be acknowledged and recognized as he is the former Benefits and Policy Committee chair and would be willing to meet with whomever is the first or the person appointed into the seat.
Thank you. Is that something
that hi you... can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you fine, thank you.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's the whole reason why I'm here. I saw that you guys were going to be voting to appoint a new BPC chair, and I just want to offer I'm no longer on the General Employee Assembly, but I do plan to be on the Benefits and Policy Committee. I love that committee. Anybody that knows me, I've been on the committee since 2019. I chaired it last year, and I'm happy to meet with the person who takes it on to do some onboarding. We were pretty we did a mostly discussion last year. I don't know that we really brought anything to fruition, but honestly, the committee meetings themselves, where you have those discussions, are always rich and thought-provoking, and we have an excellent committee, and you learn a lot about Cornell. So I guess it's one of the I guess if you wanted to, you could categorize the BPC as one of the sexier committees on the EA, but I guess I have a penchant for it, and I really want to see whoever takes this role be successful. So I just wanted to put that out there, and the whole reason why I'm crashing the EA meeting until Gordon Barger comes to do the benefits presentation, which is always fascinating. And I don't know why the more people don't come to that, which I can tell you about as in the BPC meeting. So anyway, I'll stop there.
Great. Thank you so much, Kat. Is there any, with all of that said, is there anyone that would like to nominate themselves for this position at this time? Okay. Yeah, I'm not seeing anyone. And also, I just want to give a time check that we are a little over 1 o'clock. So we have 25 minutes left. So so I think maybe we can move on to the other position to see if anyone would like to let me move back. Would anyone like to nominate someone to chair this position for the Benefits and Policy Committee Chair? Marcy, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand.
No, that's okay. I would like to nominate Bethany Dixon.
Oh, thanks, Marcy. I would have no idea what I would be doing necessarily, but I am curious about how to revamp the way that Cornell does things to benefit employees. So maybe it would be a good fit. I don't know. I'm wary of committing to something without having a lot of knowledge on how to guide it, but thank you.
Wendy, go ahead.
I also feel that would be a good nomination to have Bethany do that. And Bethany, meet Kit, basically. Kit has been, as he said, she's been on the Benefits and Policy Committee for 4 years. She was the chair last year. She can give you a lot of insight and feedback. And if you also have other questions, a former chair, I believe Brian Goodall was the chair of the committee prior to Kit, and he is very approachable and probably could give you a lot of feedback and history, background, that sort of thing with the committee.
Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if no one has any other nominations, would, I'm thinking we can hook Kit and Bethany up for a conversation to see if this is a possibility and go from there. If anyone wants to comment on that proposed plan, just let me know. Okay, great. Thank you, Bethany. And thank you, Kit. With that said, let's move on to the Faculty Senate Representative position. Would anyone like to self-nominate themselves for this role, for this appointment? Okay, so I see Erica and Christy. You're both self-nominating. Okay, nope, you're just asking a question. Got it. So I saw Erica's first, so Erica and then Christy.
What would be the responsibility of somebody in this role as the Faculty Senate Representative? Are we just going to meetings, or do we need to actually do something there? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm actually not ways to answer that. Jeremy, are you aware of how that would operate?
I haven't held the position myself, but in the past, it has been going to those meetings and returning with any relevant information that might impact the employees or employers, some of the things that we should know about.
Thank you. And Christy?
I just wanted to ask, do we have details about the meetings, when they are held, how often, and at what time?
Yep. That's on. Oh.
No, Jeremy, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't realize I wasn't muted. yes, that's on the Assembly's website, and Office of the Assemblies can make sure you get invitations and stuff.
Thank you. Wendy?
No, I just wanted to say again, from my experience in the Office of the Assemblies, the representative, there's actually Faculty Senate holds 5. This is actually drawn straight from the committee liaison appointments that we need to make as well. Faculty Senate holds 5 non-voting ex officio seats, 1 seat for postdocs filled through the Office of Postdoctoral Studies, and then 1 for the DPSA, the SA, the EA, and then 1 for ROTC. So basically, yeah, you're attending the meetings, you're reporting back from the meetings to the EA as to what was going on. I believe their meetings are once a month. They're not very, I take that back, they're twice a month. So on that website that I just posted, yeah, and Marcy actually gave the further one, it's twice a month, and they're from 3:30 to 5, and they're held in Rockefeller Hall, and so yeah, quite the month.
Thank you, Wendy. Would anyone, oh, Christy, and then Jackie.
I would be willing to serve in the role if no one else is interested.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Christy. And Jackie, please go ahead.
So I was the representative on the Faculty Senate for 2 years, maybe 3. And I was debating how to bring this up. So at the end of the last term, I talked about having a seat on the Employee Assembly under Arts and Sciences, and there was a complication with somebody who ran under the Arts and Science seat, but then before her position started, she had moved to the Vet College. So that question had gotten tabled last semester to be brought up now. And I felt like if I was able to be on the Employee Assembly, I would be happy to continue that, but also I would be happy to give Christy a chance as well. But I didn't want to volunteer myself before letting other people have the opportunity to do that. So I can also tell you a lot about the Faculty Senate, whoever wants to take that. So I guess I want to know what you guys thought first about my seat or my potential seat.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you for bringing that up. Wendy, please go ahead.
Really quick. So Christy actually is on the EA. Jackie is not on the EA, and the representative does need to be an EA member. So Jackie, your question about vacancy or seats and stuff is actually coming up in our agenda. It's actually the next discussion item, filling vacancy. So we would discuss all of that there. But if we do need to get a person in this role, it does have to be an EA member.
Great point, Wendy. Thank you. Christy, go ahead.
My recommendation is that we table this nomination until after the next discussion.
Great. Sounds wonderful. Okay.
Second.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy. Okay, let's move on to the elections discussion. So filling vacant seats. So let's see, Wendy, would you like to go ahead and get that conversation kicked off? Thank you.
I sure will. Like I said, I'm pulling double duty now, parliamentarian and election chair. So yeah, I looked really quick. As of today, we have 15 vacancies out of our 35 seats. So that's, we're kind of cutting it close. I even did a little bit of a breakdown of those 15. Six of them are college seats. Five of them are from the administrative unit. Two of them are the affinity seats. And then both of our representatives at large are vacant as well. And they all are for a variety of terms as well. Some of them are just for this current term, and then they'll go back up for election in the spring for a 3-year term. So yeah, so there's some that are for one term, some that are for two terms or 2 years, and then some that are for the full like 3-year term. As far as filling vacancies, there are a couple of different ways we could do this. We could actually do by incidental vacancy. We can have a discussion to do a special election for the fall. Be mindful, though, that that's going to take some coordination between myself, the elections committee, which has not met yet, and the elections committee is all those whose seats are not up for election in May of, or you know, spring of 2024, and the Office of the Assemblies to ensure that they could support a special election during the fall term, or during the fall. So that kind of where we are, and that actually also covers my committee report as well. I'm going to kind of twofold this. I have not met with the elections committee. I will be sending out an email to those that are on the elections committee to see when works as a good time for us to meet in the next week or so before our next EA meeting. But yeah, happy to take any questions, comments.
Thank you, Wendy. Kate, go ahead.
Sure. I had looked at the EA charter for to clarify who can fill seats on the employee assembly. And under the charter, an employee, you have to be an employee of Cornell, of course, to fill a seat on the assembly. And an employee in the charter is defined as employees are any regular, full-time, and part-time staff members in exempt, non-exempt, or academic non-professional categories who are employed at Ithaca, Geneva, or Cornell Tech campuses. So it encompasses all the three campuses named, full-time and part-time regular employees. It does not cover temporary employees.
Jeremy, go ahead.
And just again, a bit of past reference to Jackie's question about, you know, changing areas after election. I've held a number of seats within the employee assembly in order to get maximum participation. So I've for a time vacated the veteran seat, held the CALS seat so that we could bring in another veteran. I've held the IT seat in order to allow CALS and a veteran to come in. Because I have been in each of these organizations and I know enough people, I feel capable of representing them. I have communication channels built into those areas. I don't have any difficulty representing multiple places. So I'm capable of holding those seats. I think the question to be asked of anyone who is asking to fill a seat is, do you feel confident that you can do a fairer job of representing that unit or college?
Jackie, please go ahead.
Thank you. So part of why I brought that up is that the person, I have it in my notes, 1 second, Sarita, she is the one who had brought up during the meeting that she was only at Arts and Science for a short period of time, and then she had moved to the Beck College, but people hadn't recognized that that college seat was open. So they just said, don't worry about it. You can keep that seat. So it's not that this person wanted to hold that particular seat. There was, I think, just not a clear understanding of what were the options that were available. if she did want to keep that seat, I wouldn't, you know, ask her to relinquish it. But my understanding from the context was that she had thought that she should move to the vet college, and I thought that was also appropriate. But I also, at the time, I held the vet college seat, so it wasn't clear that that seat was available. So I think that it is not a, I don't think anybody would be, I don't think she would in particular would be opposed to that. I don't think there would be any issue with doing that. And I think it would be more appropriate since she wasn't at Arts and Science for a long time as well. So that's basically what I was saying for that.
Thank you, Jackie. Wendy, please go ahead.
Okay, so this is where I speak to my role as parliamentarian and making sure we follow the governing docs, but also as chair of the elections committee. Eligibility, it does say in our charter that changes of status within the university do not alter the eligibility of a member to serve as long as that member remains an employee of the university. Vacancies, a regular vacancy occurs when the term of a member expires and may be filled by election. An incidental vacancy occurs when a seat remains vacant after a regular election. So all of these seats that we have open, they were in our regular election in the spring and weren't filled. So they, by way of our governing documents, are incidental vacancies. Incidental vacancy can be, it doesn't say anything actually even about a special election. It could be, it's basically the way that I was elected into the employee assembly. There was an incidental vacancy and that's how I came in. I showed interest. Was voted on, that sort of thing. So we didn't have a special election. I do feel, however, though, with 15 open seats, that a special election might get us a little more than us nudging people and saying, hey, do you want to be on the employee assembly and fill a vacancy that we may have? As far as switching with Sarita and all that kind of stuff, our governing docs do not address that. And I know Jeremy has served in those different roles, but again, with his division, because I believe you're still working with CIT. Jeremy, is that correct? Thumbs up. That covers and encompasses the whole campus. So you can kind of go in that role. But again, I don't want to second what Jeremy said, that the person in the role should be comfortable with representing the constituents or the college or whatever it might be for that. Also, just addressing the eligibility of a temp employee. There is no language in our governing doc that addresses anything about a temp employee. However, I would lean toward it being that a temp employee would not be eligible for any of these positions because if they're not eligible to run for a seat to start off with, even again, it's a temp position, you might only, the individual might only be in that role for 3 months, 6 months, anything. This is a bit of a commitment to be on the EA. And I believe that's why we have those eligibility criteria in there to be full-time, part-time, that sort of thing. So.
Thank you, Wendy. And Jackie, and then Jeremy, and then Carl.
Thank you for bringing up those points, Wendy. So one other thing for the context of the switching seats that has happened during a middle of a semester, there was somebody who had a position, changed jobs to another position, and then decided to take that seat. There was that discussion in the meeting, and they chose that seat instead. So they were given the choice of either keeping the seat that they had or changing to the new college, and they felt that that would be the best. It was an empty seat, so they slid into that, and there was no problem with that. So that was the one thing I wanted to bring up. The other thing about, now I lost that train of thought. Sorry, I think that's, if it comes back to me, I'll bring it up again, but I'll let other people speak.
Thank you, Jackie. And we'll go Jeremy and then Cara.
I hear, listening to what Wendy had to say, that was helpful, but I don't want to have anyone delay filling an incidental vacancy to wait for a special election. I think starting right now, all of us should be looking at those incidental vacancies, reaching out to anyone that we know within those areas or that has been in those areas, has connections in those areas that you think would be a good asset to the assembly, and start recruiting. And that's really all of our responsibility. But we can't function as well as an assembly if we don't have representation that covers the campus. So I special election, particularly if we can, when we're doing some tabling or something, we can drag people and say, look, these seats are still open. If you're interested, you can jump on board now. I would like to see us trying to fill those ad hoc positions as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeremy. And Carl, please go ahead.
So I'm inclined to agree about the temporary positions, but there are temporary positions that last 2 or 3 years that are renewable. And I feel that there should be an addendum that says if a temporary position extends the same or longer than the term demand, that we should consider an employee able to join the seat for the remainder of the term, if it's a partial term, or for the full term, as long as their contract is for the full term that they would be voted in for. Oftentimes, people who are in contract terms that will end in 2 or 3 years have been at the university and have taken positions that will be kind of renewing, or it just needs to see that there'll be funding there after 2 or 3 years. And I would hate for people who want to be a part of this community to be kind of pushed out because of a rule that may be, or because of non-inclusive language that may be non-inclusive by accident.
Thank you, Carl, for that point. I'll let Wendy go ahead next.
Right, Carl, I do appreciate that. And I am fully aware that there are like term positions. I think they're classified as such as a term position. If it's like a 2-year term position, whatever it might be, those I believe are in a different category than a temp position. I don't know if that makes sense. And again, that is a bigger, broader question, because if we were to pull in those that are in temp roles that involve changing our eligibility in our governing docs, that involves working with the Office of the Assemblies and even Human Resources to confirm employee status with the university, whether they're temp, whether it's a term position, whether they're part-time, whether they're full-time. I do know for elections that, again, for those of you that don't know, I used to sit in Eric's position. I used to be the senior coordinator in the Office of the Assembly, so I kind of have a dual side perspective of how things work. We got like a whole list of everything, and we did have to confirm that if an individual was running for a seat, that they met the criteria. And again, Jackie, I please ask that we keep the comments to a small roar, or you ask someone to recognize you. Jackie did say that there are temp positions that are not firm positions that last for years. So again, I appreciate that comment, but it's a bigger, broader discussion for the elections committee, for the Office of the Assemblies. I'm not trying to dissuade anything. I'm just looking at that 100-foot top view, whatever it might be, just to cover all bases. And also being mindful of time, we are at 1:27, so I do call to extend the meeting for 15 minutes. We apologize for going over, but again, we still have a couple more things to kind of go through before we can wrap up. So I call a motion to extend by 15 minutes and adjourn at 1:45.
I'll second extending.
Thank you, Kate. Okay. Wendy, are you anything else to add to that last point you just made? Or I'll let let's see whose hand is up. Erica, I see you first. So we'll go with Erica.
I'm forgive me for not knowing, but for the new people in the room, is there an issue with like employment or something? Is that the reason we're bringing up to employees and their ability to be on the EA? Because I'm really confused how we got to that piece of the conversation.
Would you like to?
Well, I can say my piece, or I can let Wendy address that as parliamentarian. Okay. But I mean, to me, the reason it came up is that we're talking about filling a large number of empty seats, and we wanted to clarify who is eligible to fill those seats. If we want to change our charter to allow temporary employees to fill seats on the assembly, we can do so. But at this point in time, it is not allowed, regardless of the length of the temporary term of temporary employment. If someone is categorized by HR as a temporary employment, they cannot at this point in time under the EA charter fill a seat. So, we can say we agree with that or we don't, but that is how it is. So, Erica, that's why I was bringing it up, just so that it's clear who can fill those seats.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate.
Exactly everything what Kate just said. Thank you for doing my parliamentarian job. Also, thank you, Eric, for putting the list of the open positions. I was going to send out an email later and being mindful of time.
Great.
It looks like we're losing people at 1:30, so we may have to.
Yeah. So with that said, Wendy, as part of the elections committee, do you, how would you like to go ahead and proceed from here? Do you have any sort of an idea what would work with your committee for this?
Well, as I said, I haven't met with the elections committee yet. I will be sending out an email today to those that are on the committee, see what they think. I do actually like Jeremy's idea of, since we can do this as incidental vacancies, to reach out to those that we think might be a good fit and say, hey, we have these positions open, hopefully be able to fill them. We're losing people left and right. So I also did want to bring up really quick under open discussion, Gary Cremins is here from Go Ithaca. And I was asked to introduce him briefly, but it sounds like he has a little bit of a topic to discuss. So Gary, I will reach out to you separately and get your info. We can get you on an agenda for 10, 15 minutes as a guest at a future meeting.
Great. At this point, I know we extended the meeting, but at this point, I'm thinking it might be best to, wrap things up and maybe carry it over to our next meeting. Wendy, please go ahead.
I was just about to say a motion to adjourn, and I'm not thinking there's too many committee reports. Maybe Marcy and Sophie might have something, but yeah, we can bring that over to the next meeting. We meet again in 2 weeks, so.
I second to adjourn. Excellent. We can discuss at the future meeting.
Great. All right. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.